Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
All right, it's no April Fool's joke that Colonels baseball is just around the corner. Cedar Rapids opens up the 2024 season, and the roster is out. We get to talk about it here on the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by Miracle Ear. We welcome in the voice of the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, John Vitas, the podcast. John, what's going on, man? Thanks for the time.
Doing well, Calvin. Thanks for having me. I can't believe we're just a few days away.
And you've been in the middle of it, too, down at spring training, enjoying the nice weather as it is currently 44 degrees and raining here in Cedar Rapids. How was your spring training experience this year in 24?
It was good. It was actually great. I mean, I do the PA announcing for the Twins games and help with some of the in-game entertainment and the music and the audio for the major league games. And then on the days where we don't have home games, I am prepping for muscle season, but also trying to get to the backfields every once in a while to see some of our guys, you know, play some preseason games and interact with as many of the coaches as I can before we get into the first game of the regular season. So it's spring training's a hectic time for us here in Fort Myers, but it's also super exciting. The vibes are immaculate. Everybody's in a good mood. So it's a fun February and March are two of the best months to be down here for sure.
And that makes you a great guest to have preview this 2024 Cedar Rapids Colonels roster. The Colonels, of course, champs in 2023 of the Midwest League. Unfortunately, about half the team has gone to Wichita AA or others. 15 returners from the 2023 Colonels roster returned to Cedar Rapids in 2024. And a group of those guys headlined the pitching staff. CJ Culpepper, Andrew Morris, Zebby Matthews, going to be the Colonels 1-2-3, it looks like, on the pitching side of things. Three guys with really big arms, John. You saw them down in Fort Myers. They made a contribute with you guys last year, got the bump up to Cedar Rapids. They look to do the same with the Colonels here in 2024 once again.
Yeah, those guys were our headliners in the first half last year. Incredible stuff. All those guys absolutely can be major league starters down the road. I fell in love with CJ Culpepper watching him over the course of the season. He has five or six different types of pitches he'll use. I know you saw him plenty too at the end of the year. Just runs it, cuts it, everything's firm. He's a thinker, he's smart, he's a hard worker. Everything about Culpepper is exciting and intriguing moving forward. I did get a chance to watch a couple of innings of Andrew Morris a couple of weeks ago here in spring training. He looked fantastic. Stuff was electric, lots of swing and miss. Really good command of his off speeds. He's a guy that I think could hit the ground running with you guys this season. Those guys are fun to watch. You saw plenty of Zebby last year, strike throwers, a lot of sinker slider, a lot of weak contact and ground balls. That's a heck of a top of the rotation. And some of these other guys you got from us that we had last year are going to fill in the back half of that rotation and do a nice job too.
CJ Culpepper came to Cedar Rapids and threw up, I think, 18 consecutive scoreless innings. Welcome to high A for Culpepper, and you mentioned it. Every pitch he throws is hard. It's a hard slider. It's a hard cutter. It's obviously a hard fastball in the mid to upper 90s. Andrew Morris, too, came to Cedar Rapids and went 5-1. It seemed like he won every game following his promotion from Cedar Rapids. Looks like some other Colonels starters. Darren Bowen, a big piece the Colonels got in that trade that sent Jorge Polanco from the Twins to the Mariners. He's an exciting guy coming in to the Colonels rotation and coming into the Twin system this season. Also, John Klein, who was with the Colonels for a bit at the end of the season last year, he won a Midwest League championship. And how about Jack Noble, 6'2", the right-handed pitcher? He also joins the Colonel staff, someone that will be in the mix when it comes to pitching for Cedar Rapids here early in the season.
Yeah, Noble's a really solid starting pitcher. He's just a guy who knows how to pitch. He can hit spots. He's got four very distinct pitches that he can use to his advantage. He had one outing with us in Jupiter towards the end of last year that was one of the best individual outings we've seen all season. I think it was six scoreless innings against Jupiter. perimeter, where he just pounded the zone, got a lot of quick outs. So Noble, and we saw him in the spring breakout game here a couple of weeks ago. So obviously he's starting to get some attention as a legitimate prospect in the Twins organization as well. And I loved watching John Klein last year. He and Noble were kind of our second half stars in the rotation. Klein's got he's super tall, athletic guy who throws very downhill. So it really is heavy and gets on guys pretty quick. So Noble and Klein were a couple of guys who were only with us for a couple of months, I think July and August last year, ended up in Cedar Rapids at the end. And I think they're poised to have really good seasons. They're both guys who spent like a full calendar year at the complex down here, and I think made some really strong improvements, understood who they were as a pitcher. And now their professional results are even better than their amateur results when they were in college. So it's kind of fun to see those two guys grow.
And both those guys went undrafted, which is kind of a theme of a couple of these Colonels pitchers we're going to get into, undrafted free agents. And it seems like the Twins more recently have had a knack of finding these undrafted guys. And like you said, keeping them in the complex for a year or so, and then developing them into some really solid talent that you're going to be able to see in Cedar Rapids this season. Klein, of course, went to Iowa Central Community College, the same place where Colonel's pitching coach, Jonas Lovin, was his pitching coach. So those two, ironically, staying in the same state, that is, from Iowa Central Community College to Cedar Rapids with same positions, pitching coach and starting pitcher.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the Miracle Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
We are getting you set for the Colonels 2024 season here on the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by our friends at Miracle Ear. I'm Calvin Cristoforo, joined by John Vitas down in Fort Myers, the voice of the Mighty Muscles, who saw a lot of these guys, whether it was with the Muscles or with spring training, one of his other duties that he gets excited for come February and come March. Now, when you look at this Colonels bullpen, it gets a little interesting. Some guys that not really have experience in Cedar Rapids. John Stankiewicz, of course, was with the Colonels last year. He was just phenomenal. After having an ERA over 10.5 in April, he got his ERA down to 3 by the end of the year. So that just shows you how good he was from May on. And, of course, Jordan Carr, who had a 32-inning scoreless streak with the Colonels with about an injury, about a month and a half stint on the IL in between. But 3 months, Jordan Carr did not allow a run, 32 innings, and he is back with the Colonels, the left-handed pitcher. But besides that, a couple of unknowns for Colonels fans in that bullpen. Anyone that you want to highlight out of the bullpen that you might see for Cedar Rapids come in relief?
Yeah, there's a couple guys who made an impact late in the season with us. A couple of guys, one of them you did see a little bit of, Ricardo Velez. Really solid three-pitch mix. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Malik Barrington, who you had last year, in the sense where they came from that United Shores Professional League in Michigan and have three very distinct pitches that they can get swing and miss with all three, which I think is the key. Maybe the fastball is probably the third best of the three pitches, but still a lot of movement in the low 90s. But the changeup from Velez is a swing and miss pitch, as is the slider. So I think he's just a guy you can slot right in there to the back half of your pen. He's going to be really solid for you and throw strikes. And then Mercedes with a quick riser for, through the twin system. He's a guy who signed late. I think he was 19 or 20 when he first signed with the Twins. He was someone who was overlooked as a 16, 17, 18-year-old. And when I saw him throw in the complex in June or July last year and thought, this guy is way too good for the FCL. I mean, mowing through hitters. He's a guy who is a plus slider, so he uses the slider more than the fastball in most instances and can get a lot of swing and miss. It sweeps the width of the plate, just hard for hitters to pick up. So he got to us very quickly. I think he made a handful of outings in the FCL in his first pro season, went straight to low A. He did have a mixed bag of results with us. There were a couple of bad outings sprinkled in there, but for the most part was good in kind of a two-inning relief role. He did make a few spot starts for us, and that's where it got a little shaky. So I think moving forward, he's probably in the bullpen, but the slider is just an elite pitch that I think is going to fool a lot of hitters. So those guys slotting in with AJ Labis, who I know you saw a fair amount of last year, those guys are all going to be really solid strike throwers, ground ball pitchers. And then the one swing and miss guy who we had the last 2 years that Cardinals fans haven't seen yet is Juan Mendez, who might be the hardest thrower on your team. He's up to 98-99. Big, strong, physical guy. Off speeds are solid, pretty good slider with a lot of depth. For him, it's all about throwing strikes. You know, every once in a while, he'll have an outing where he does struggle to throw strikes. But when he's on, he's as electric as you'll have in that bullpen. Someone that if he's throwing strikes is going to overpower hitters and be really fun for the fans to enjoy. So just kind of looking at the bullpen, those are some guys who certainly stand out. Not sure how they'll use Darren Bowen, who is in the trade with the Mariners for Jorge Polanco. But I did see a couple of innings of him on the backfields, and he was really impressive too.
Bowen, a really athletic guy. The scouting report on him, 6'3", right-hander. Kyle Bischoff in that bullpen, so is Jacob Wyszynski. Gabriel Yanez, a left-handed pitcher. Cardinals got just a taste of him at the end of the season last year. You had him in Fort Myers, both as a Mighty Muscle and as an opponent, a couple years with Clearwater in the Phillies system. Left-handed pitching, always going to be getting some looks. What do you think of Yanez's outlook as we go into 2024?
Amazing command of the off speeds. That's his calling card. Fastball tops out at 90. He's usually 87 to 90 with the fastball, but the fastball is a secondary pitch for him. He leads with the slider. He's got a change up as well. That's pretty darn good. So he's tough on lefties because he's got that sharp slider that breaks away. And like I said, he can command it. So he can start it on the plate, break it off the plate, throw it as a get me over pitch for a strike and get whiffs with it. So he's going to lead with the slider. That's kind of his MO. Good clubhouse guy, was really taken aback. I remember interviewing him last year and he was just honored to get an interview. You know, the lefty specialist in the pen isn't always the first guy on media lists. But he was just a good guy to have around the clubhouse and a really good, reliable arm. He was someone who our manager had no issue bringing into any role. You know, he could come in the second inning, the sixth inning, the ninth inning. I know he pitched an extra innings a couple of times in close games. So he's an experienced minor league guy who I think can really pitch in any sort of role. And he's not going to overpower anyone, but he can throw strikes. Similar to a Samuel Perez, who you saw briefly last year, who came up from the muscles. You know, Perez throws even softer than Yanez, but they're both going to be lefty strike throwers. You can kind of put them in the Jordan Carr bucket too, although Carr can start a little bit more. But those are guys that are valuable that are going to eat innings for the Cardinals for sure.
Christian McLeod, another lefty who will be in the Cardinals starting rotation. One guy we didn't touch on who I think is exciting to me because he's got the most exciting name, of course, arguably, in this Cardinals pitching staff / bullpen. Miguel Angel Boedes. How is that pronunciation, A? And two, what is he going to bring to the Cardinals bullpen?
You're this close. Boedes. So second syllable. Boedes. It's a tricky one. Boedes is a great guy, great pitcher. Really enjoyed having him last year. The numbers are not going to jump out to you. He had a few outings where it went haywire. He struggled to get out of the second or third inning. But the stuff is really good. I would lump him in with Jose Olivares, who's in the same boat. Olivares remained healthy and in our rotation all year, so his sample size is much larger than Boedes. But both guys are very mature for their age, very dedicated to their craft, work really hard. And I think both have a real chance to be major league starting pitchers, which if you look at their low A numbers, you would think I'm crazy to say that. But if you actually see them pitch with the naked eye, I am big believers in both those guys. Olivares will start on the IL, but both of them throw hard. Both of them sit in the mid-90s with their fastballs. They're both big, strong, young guys. So you will see Bolaños right away. So I'll kind of get more into detail with him. He's a guy who grew up on an island off the coast of Venezuela. So an interesting upbringing because he wasn't able to play as a teenager against typical Venezuelan competition. They had to ride a ferry boat or get on a plane to be able to play anybody from off of their island. So he was very overlooked as a 14, 15, 16-year-old. Twins found him throwing in the upper 80s as a 17-year-old, signed him, and he's really come a long way in a few years in the organization. I did see him throw on the backfield. I did see him touch 98 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I saw a slider with 21 inches of induced horizontal break, which is unbelievable. That's the highest end of the scale you'll see. So the stuff is really there, and it's there right now for him. So I'm not sure how they plan to use him as a one or two inning reliever, or if they keep him as a starter and see if he's someone that can finally meet that potential and have the results to go with it. But he does have a pretty good changeup as well. So it's three pitches. And when he's going right, he can throw them for strikes. When he got in trouble, he was nibbling and he let stuff snowball on him. But the outings where he was good, he was really good. So it's more about the consistency and battling through base traffic, pitching better out of the stretch, and some smaller things like that, where if he makes those adjustments, Bolaños is a guy that actually he's actually a lot more exciting than he seems on paper.
You mentioned Olivares. He will start on the injured list. So will Alejandro Hidalgo, who was with the Cardinals most of the year, or all of the year last year, coming over from that trade with the Angels. Connor Prelip, who has had the injury bug bite him his entire collegiate and now professional career, he also starts the year with the Cardinals on the injured list.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Getting you set for opening day 2024 here on the Colonels All Year Podcast with the voice of the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, John Vitas. I'm Calvin Cristoforo. Shameless plug before we get too far down the line, John. You want to let the fans know how they can watch Mighty Muscles games this season?
It's the first year they can watch Mighty Muscles games. Florida State League has been audio only for the most part for a long time, but we've progressed into the video age. So MightyMuscles.com, of course, will have all the links, but all the same ways you can watch the Colonels is the same way you can watch the Muscles, MLB app, MILB first pitch app. Variety of links. Obviously the audio is free, subscription needed for the video, which you can get through your MLB.com subscription that you would normally watch the major league game. So you probably know better than me because this is our first time promoting it, but it's on all the normal MLB streaming platforms.
Bally Live as well. So the only issue is we play at the same time, not the same time, but every day we play the same day that they play. So you're going to need two monitors to do it. But if you can, you can watch the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles for the first time this season, and then you can see the guys that we're going to be talking about in this podcast next year that are making the jump from single-A Fort Myers here to high-A Cedar Rapids. We touched on the pitching staff. Now let's move into the position player groups, and a guy that a lot of people are excited about is Ricardo Olivar, the catcher coming in for Cedar Rapids, a top 30 prospect in the Twin system. People in Cedar Rapids, and I'm sure you can understand why, really fell in love with Noah Cardenas and Andrew Cassetti, the catching combination last year with Jefferson Morales. Question I got the most off season: are we going to have Cardenas and Cassetti back? Answer, unfortunately, is no. They're both going to Wichita Double A. Big props to both of those guys having great seasons here in Cedar Rapids. But Ricardo Olivar, who is one of the highest-ranking catching prospects in the Twins system, takes over as the Colonel's backstop, and this is a guy that there's really a lot to get excited about.
The bat's really legit with Olivar. He can go to all fields. Calvin, you know, in the Florida State League, it's not easy to hit home runs. 10 home runs is equivalent to 20 plus in most other leagues. I think Olivar is a prime candidate who had single-digit home runs with us that could break out for 20 plus with you guys. A lot of warning track fly balls, doubles off the wall last year that will become home runs as he gets stronger and goes into the smaller parks and thinner air up in the Midwest League. Hitting in the Florida State League is like trying to swing through a swimming pool with how humid it is. If you go golfing, you know, you have to go a club up or down depending on the humidity. And when you're in Florida, the ball just doesn't go as far because we're at sea level. So he's a guy who I think is going to hit some home runs for you guys to all fields, can really, really hit, tough at bat, not easy to strike out. Extremely valuable clubhouse leader. The pitchers respect him. The whole team really respects him. He's a leader for a lot of the Latin players. He's going to be exciting. He's still looking for a defensive home. That's the biggest question with him. For us, he only caught about 2 out of the 6 games each week. So the jury's still out as to whether he's a catcher long-term. I know growing up, he was more of an infielder. Now he's a catcher outfielder, similar to what you saw with Morales the last couple of years. Olivar may fill a similar role where he'll play some left and right field for you guys. DH a good bit too, but he's continuing to work on his catching skills. He's got a good raw arm. It's just all the finer details that they're still trying to smooth out with him, but it'll be fun to watch him progress there. And Nate Baez too is a guy who can really crush the baseball. He's a guy that if he gets enough at bats should be in double figures in home runs as well.
Yeah, Nate Baez and Dylan Tatum, the combination with Olivar in that catching group, I get the sense that those two guys are kind of opposite when it comes to Tatum is a lot stronger with the glove and Baez a lot stronger with the bat.
Yeah, I would say that's fair to say. All three of those, or I should say Baez and Tatum, can play first base as well. So you may see them get some reps there. Baez is a pretty strong defender as well. So Tatum and Baez behind the plate, you really can't go wrong with those guys. Olivar, like I said, is still the work in progress back there, but that bat's going to play. And I made it obvious for the Twins to move him to high A with the numbers he put together last year. Him and Rubel Cespedes, Olivar and Cespedes, were on several top 10 lists in the league at the end of the season in those cumulative statistics where they put up, you know, some good doubles and RBI totals, hit for a good average. So those are guys that can definitely hit.
Yeah, Tatum, a guy coming over from UC Irvine, a 20th round pick, and Baez from Arizona State, where he played a lot of different positions, you know, at Arizona State, whether that be in the infield, played some second base as well. Not sure you're going to see that in Cedar Rapids, but he can give you some options defensively. And like you mentioned, really strong numbers with a bat. Injury last season kind of kept him out for some time, but when he got in the muscles lineup, it seemed like he was a big contributor.
Yeah, he's a guy who you probably, the Cedar Rapids probably would have had last year had it not been for the injury. Unfortunately, he had a broken hand in spring training, which kept him out for more than half the season. So just unfortunate injuries for Nate. It is plus power. He can really hit. I don't think you'll see him up the middle anymore because of the guys, the incredible defenders you have on your roster. But he'll be a really good catcher, first base, DH option. And if he does stay healthy, the offensive numbers should be really strong by the end of the year.
Let's get to some of those infielders as we preview the 2024 Cedar Rapids Colonels opening day roster with John Vitas here on the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by Miracle Ear. We got the battery down. We ripped through the pitching staff. A lot of exciting weapons. Might see a lot more velocity potentially this season in Cedar Rapids. We got some catchers out of the way. No Noah Cardenas, no Andrew Cassetti. Two guys that were beloved by the Cedar Rapids fan base. They are both with AA Wichita. Ricardo Olivar, Dylan Tatum, and Nate Baez, the trio that you will see behind the plate. In the infield, we have some guys that ate some serious innings for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles on the field. Rubel Cespedes and Danny DeAndrade seemed like two guys that were in the lineup every single night for your ball club.
They sure were. They sure were. And they were two guys who was really fun to watch grow over the course of 5 months. We had Cespedes for part of the 22 season as well. The one thing that stands out with him is he was able to transform his body to be a legitimate prospect now. He actually got, even though he was playing more first base and second base, he got better as a third baseman. He's got a good arm, so he can really play all three of those spots now. He trimmed down, he got stronger, more agile. And so he's somebody, I feel like Cespedes is a guy who worked his way into being a legitimate prospect, where he told us when he was 16 and he was watching his buddies in the Dominican Republic sign with all these professional organizations, completely passed over. The scouts told him he didn't have the foot speed or the hands to play at the pro level, worked his way to get a contract, and now has worked his way to the high A level. And he has some serious power. He can go to all fields. He makes loud contact, and he's an exciting guy. So he's one that he's pretty flashy and excitable. Like, the fans will get behind him when he laces a ball to the fence. He's a great guy to be around too. So you guys will enjoy Cespedes. De Andrade is very appropriately ranked in the top half of the Twins top 30, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 on most lists. He was a guy that, like Noah Miller, who you guys had last year, the more you watch him, the more you love him. He grows on you. He's not someone that's going to have 60, 70 grade tools when you first see him. He has kind of 50 grade tools across the board. But when you watch him play every day, you realize he's going to be a big league infielder at some point. Good hands, good arm, good instincts, great clubhouse guy. But he's someone that just has the right approach to be a pro baseball player, goes about his business in a professional manner every day. Similar to what you probably saw from Emmanuel Rodriguez last year, is just wise beyond their years. And De Andrade is someone who's really solid and reliable defensively. Probably made a couple more errors than Noah Miller did, but still he makes the difficult play in addition to the routine play. So he's someone who I think will stick at shortstop, will hit a good bit. He hit 9 home runs for us last year as a teenager, which is really hard to do in the Florida State League. So another guy who could end up with 15 or 20 for the Colonels. So you'll really enjoy watching De Andrade.
Ioni Cavaco, who was with the Colonels last year, former first-round pick, is back in Cedar Rapids, as is Jose Salas, the switch-hitting infielder who is going to continue to improve now in just his second year in the Twin system. Luke Kuechel, who got a championship ring with the Colonels, came up for the final half, or I say half, it's a way less than half, final 10 games or so of the regular season with Cedar Rapids. I believe he played 8 at the end of the year. Former second-round pick just last year in 2023, a really big bat in the middle of the Colonels lineup. Couple that with Jay Harry, who is a college guy. The Colonels took 2 college position players, not the Colonels, the Twins, took 2 college position players in last season's draft. Luke Kuechel in the second round and Jay Harry in the 6th round. And it seems like, just looking at the numbers, John, he got to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles and raked.
They both did. And they're both big time hitters. I think even though they only took 2 college hitters, they hit on both of those picks. Kuechel impressed me about as quick as anybody I've ever had in the minor leagues. It's going to be my 8th year in the minor leagues. Can mash 2 all fields, relentless worker and hitter. Could not be more impressed with him. And I think he's a slam dunk big leaguer one day. So he is going to rake for you guys. And Jay Harry takes about as mature and at bat as you'll ever see. Incredible strike zone discipline, understanding of what the pitcher is going to throw, gets ahead in the count, works the count, and then just lines balls to all fields. Harry doesn't have the power of Kuechel and others, but that's not his game. I mean, he's a line drive hitter. He's a good defender. He's a baseball player. I think that's one thing you can say about both those guys, that they're just baseball players. And that's something that the Twin Scouts obviously saw when they went and saw them at Arizona State and Penn State. They have those intangibles to do all the little things well. And that those are the things that help you win games. So if you do get those guys for the full season, they will be a huge part of the Cedar Rapids success.
Jay Harry kind of seems like just a guy that loves to be at the ballpark and do the little things right. His pants are never going to come home without any dirt on him playing in the middle of the Colonels infield. Switching over to the outfield real quick, Willie Joe Gary Jr., who is a name people love, exciting guy, really fast, looking for his first really healthy season in some time as he comes back to Cedar Rapids. Augustin Ruiz, who the Twins picked up from the New York Mets as a free agent, he only led Double-A Binghamton in the Mets system with 18 home runs last year. Really big power bat in Ruiz. And Misael Urbina, who the Colonels saw last season flashy outfielder at times, can make some really good plays defensively. And when he makes contact, he hits the ball pretty hard, Urbina, in the outfield. But the big name in the outfield, bold him, highlight him. He is the number 4 prospect in the Twin system, number 76 in baseball. The reason why the Jorge Polanco trade to the Mariners got done, Gabby Gonzalez, who is going to be a Colonel's cornerstone this season, kind of taking over for Amanda Rodriguez. Of course, different players, but Gonzalez, who I know you haven't seen with Fort Myers, but you got a taste of him this spring. Really strong lower body and can flat out hit the baseball.
Yes, yes. He's very stocky, very strong. We saw him come in off the bench in a lot of major league spring training games. He actually started one due to a scratch. So we did actually see him a good bit in Hammond Stadium at the Twins spring training games. And definitely a guy that drew a lot of attention. Definitely a guy that packs a little bit of a punch. You know, pretty good tools across the board. So he is definitely one to be excited about. And Willie Joe Gary kind of falls in the similar category where all the Twins reporters and broadcasters love him because of his name. And he's always doing something exciting and unpredictable that makes your eyes pop. And so it'll be kind of fun to watch those guys work in the outfield for sure.
Gabby Gonzalez going to be a big time contributor for the Colonels. And how about this, John? He was born in 2004. Then he will be in Cedar Rapids for the entire season. I don't want to get you jealous, but the Colonels playing for another one of these, a Midwest League championship ring to Cedar Rapids last season with a great year, culminating with that championship victory. That was a preview of the roster. We really hope to see you at the ballpark this season. John, good luck with your season. I really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure. Happy to share some information on these guys. Now, you guys will definitely enjoy them. It's a great roster.
Colonels baseball is here. That was John Vitas on the Colonels All Ear podcast presented by Miracle Ear. We hope to catch you next time, and we hope to see you at the ballpark.
Invisible hearing solutions for ultimate discretion. Miracle Ear is here to help, so you can find a personalized solution that fits your needs, lifestyle, and budget. Miracle Ear has over 70 years of expertise and over 1,500 stores nationwide. Make a sound decision. Call 1-800-MIRACLE now and book your free hearing evaluation.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.